I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 26, the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. We commence reading some verses in this passage of God's Word at verse number 30. That is Matthew chapter 26. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to some books of the Bible. We're going to three books of the Bible, to Matthew and to John and also to the book of Luke. And we're opening the Scriptures together. Won't you keep your Bibles open before you? That is Matthew chapter 26, commencing to read at verse number 30. Let's read God's Word. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus answered," or Peter answered, "and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Quite often people forget that. They talk about what Peter said. And they said that Peter said, yes, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. But notice what it says at the end of the verse. It says, likewise also said all the disciples. It wasn't only Peter said that. The rest of them said it as well. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith to Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." We end our reading there. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee that we can gather around thy precious word. Oh God, whenever we think about the privilege the disciples had of sitting around thy feet and listening to thy word, oh God, we would have loved to have been there just to hear thee speak. But oh God, we thank thee that thou, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, speakest to our hearts even tonight. And even as we read these words, we pray that our God, our hearts will burn within us while thou dost talk to us by the way. Lord, we pray that you'll open unto us the scriptures that we might be led of thee. We pray in the Savior's precious name and for his glory alone. Amen. As you know, we had the privilege of visiting the land that Jesus loved,
the land of Israel. The place where the Lord Jesus put and set his love upon the people. And where he came unto his own. But sad to say, his own received him not. Whenever we came or went to Israel, and I know there were people who were concerned because we're going through Turkey and then went on to Israel. But thank God, as you can see, we arrived safely. And we thank God for his hand upon us. And when we arrived to Israel, we went immediately to Galilee because indeed we wanted to start there where the Lord Jesus started his ministry. Because the ministry of Christ really started down in the Galilee area. And then we find that after the visit around Galilee and the different places, walking in the steps of our Savior. In actual fact, we not only walked in the steps of the Savior, we were in the boat just as the Jesus was. We sailed upon the Sea of Galilee. And we had a similar little experience as the Lord had, because then when they put the boat off, there was an absolute calm, a tremendous peace and stillness there upon the water. And then as we're journeying back, there was a little wind started to blow up, just as when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the wind and to the waves, and the Lord Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm, and we had a tremendous time as we sailed along that Sea of Galilee. And then the Lord Jesus, after his time in Galilee, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And that's exactly what we did, and it was the last part of our journey. We headed up to Jerusalem, and there we spent some wonderful and blessed times also in the places where Jesus was. Now, I know that people go to visit the sites across the world where great battles were fought. But we too went to a place where a great battle was fought. It was there in Jerusalem. And I want us to come to three different places very simply tonight. And we're going to Matthew, and we're going to John, and then we're finishing in Luke. Three scenes that we can think about, that we had to experience, because there a great battle was fought. Thank God the greatest battle was fought that ever could be fought. Because thank God, whilst we're sad when we thought about the suffering and the shame and the sorrow of the Lord Jesus Christ that was brought upon our wonderful Lord, yet our hearts were glad when we bore in mind that there on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ paid the price of our redemption. He finished the work, and thank God, because he died and rose again, we stood in an empty tomb, and thank God he is not there. And the tomb can say, "He is not here, for he is risen." And thank God we rejoice that we serve a risen Savior, one who's exalted. We stood in the Mount of Olives, just as the disciples did, and the Lord Jesus was taken up from them into heaven. And the angel said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." The Word of God tells us that he will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives on that great day. Thank God Jesus Christ is coming again. But the first one that I want us to think about there in verse number 36 of Matthew chapter 26, it says this: "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." The Lord Jesus Christ took his disciples to the upper room, and there they enjoyed the Passover feast. And after having enjoyed and they experienced the Passover feast, then the Lord Jesus did something else. He instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper. Judas Iscariot had left that scene because the Lord had handed him that sop. And he went into the night. And Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and to the scribes to betray and to sell the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples had spent that memorable night around the feet of Jesus. You know, whenever we think about it, because quite often you see the pictures about the Last Supper, in actual fact, it's not correct or factual to the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ, he would recline. They were sitting there upon little as it were, just little stools, and were sitting there and reclining upon them. And yes, John was leaning on the Savior's breast, and on this side there was John, and on the other side of Christ was Judas Iscariot. And you know, when the Lord Jesus handed, because it says, "He that dippeth with me in the dish," it's him. Because each one of them said, "Lord, is it I?" And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "The one that I give the sop to." And the Lord Jesus took that sop and he handed it to Judas Iscariot. Not one of them recognized that Judas Iscariot was the traitor. Not one of them believed that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. But they spent that memorable night. And then after Judas had left, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper for the Lord's people. And then they sang a hymn and they went out into the Mount of Olives. The Lord Jesus took his disciples across the Kidron Valley. And there's a garden. And it is a garden of Gethsemane. It was a place that the Lord Jesus was known many times to take his disciples. In actual fact, Judas Iscariot knew exactly where to find Christ. Because Judas Iscariot knew that that was the place that the Lord Jesus would take his disciples away from the busyness of the crowd, away to the quietness of the garden of Gethsemane. What did we learn there? We learned simple things. First of all, we learned that in Gethsemane, it was the place of supplication. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in the garden. It says, he says, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And the Lord Jesus Christ went further still into the garden. He said to his Peter and to James and John, he told them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation. And there in that garden, Jesus Christ went further. And the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." So what did he do, friend? He prayed. You know, some people say to me at times, "Preacher, whenever there's no answer for," said, "you know, preacher, well, all I can do is pray." Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed on all occasions. Before the Lord Jesus chose his disciples, he took himself alone up into the mountain, and there he got before his Father, and he prayed. Remember, the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000, and after he worked that great miracle and fed those 5,000 with the little loaves and fishes, and then he sent his disciples into the ship and told them to go to the other side, but he was alone to pray. He spent much time in prayer. We sing the wee hymn, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." And here's the question, friend. How much time do we spend alone with God in prayer? You know, our sister Iris has been in hospital, has an operation. I went to see her last night, and you know, just she's one of our prayer warriors. She's one of the prayer warriors, always in the place of prayer. But friend, be honest, there are others who are not in the place of prayer. They're no longer there. They have no burden to pray. The Word of God says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Here was the Lord Jesus, and he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." And he fell on his face before his Father. Verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face. And what did he do? And prayed. And prayed. He brought his burden to his Heavenly Father. It was the place, the blessing of supplication. You know, whilst people say, "All I can do is pray," listen, the best thing you can do is pray. That's the best thing. You know, some people say, "Well, all I can do," in other words, "I've tried everything else, and really, all I can do is pray." Friend, that's the first thing. That's the first thing that God's people ought to be doing. Ought to be in place of prayer. It's the blessing of supplication. But not only was it the blessing that we learn is the blessing of supplication, but here we see the burden of sin. Because the Lord Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." He was overwhelmed. He was surrounded with sorrow. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't afraid of death. Remember what the psalmist says? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Now, friend, when David wasn't afraid of death, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't afraid of death. And neither do God's people need to fear death, because the Bible says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." And so therefore, it was not the fear of death that surrounded him in his sorrow. It wasn't the fear of suffering. When you think of the martyrs, think of what the godly martyrs did, friend. Whenever they were being set there alight in the flames, think of some of the martyrs that walked up, and before they stepped into the fire, they walked and they put their hand upon the faggots that were to burn them, and they kissed them and rejoiced that they were counted worthy even to be burnt to death for the cause of Jesus Christ. Daniel was in the lion's den. He wasn't afraid. The three Hebrew boys were going through the fiery furnace. They weren't afraid. No, the Lord Jesus wasn't afraid of death. He wasn't afraid of suffering. But he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." He says, "Father," what did he pray? He says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." For friend, there was a bitter cup that the Savior was to drink that day and that night of the cross, or that day on the cross. It was a cup of separation from his Father, from all eternity. In the bosom of the Father, thank God, that union with the Father in sweet communion. But because of our sin, he would cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Oh, the awfulness of sin that he would bear. Oh, the separation that it would bring. And so we see the blessing of supplication. We see the burden of sin. But we see the beauty of submission. What did he say? "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Remember, there's some of God's children tonight. And you're going through trials, maybe bodily trials, maybe mental trials, maybe circumstances in your family, maybe circumstances because of others, and you're going through deep waters, and you can't understand it. Remember what I said this morning to those who are in God's house. There are no such things as chances or chance with God. The Word of God says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we learned on that trip, I believe I learned, something that I brought to my brethren and sisters on that journey. You know, whenever we pray to God, friend, we come before God's throne. Remember this. When we ask of God, God doesn't always give what we ask him. But God always gives better than we ask him. Because God always gives what's best. He knows what's best. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. He says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Are you willing to surrender to God, friend, no matter what it is? Even death itself? If that is the purpose, if that is the plan of God, friend, that you face or I face death, are we willing to say, yes, Lord, thy will be done? We were on the top of the Mount of Olives. We went to Paternoster. That was the place where the teaching of the Lord's disciples, he taught them the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. And you'll find that that prayer is divided in two. He says, "Oh, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven." Friend, it starts with God. And then, give us this day our daily bread. It's God first. And when you're seeking the face of God and you're asking God in your life for things, friend, listen, are you saying, "Lord, no matter what it is, thy will be done. I'm wanting you first, Lord. Oh, that thou would be first in my life. No matter what it means. Nevertheless, not as I will." The blessing of supplication, the burden of sin, the beauty of submission, the betrayal of the Savior. That was all in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, he told them it was time to go. "Behold, the hour's at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he's at hand that doth betray me." And Judas Iscariot walked over to the Savior, friend. And Judas Iscariot rained kisses upon the cheek of Christ and betrayed the Son of God with a kiss. With a kiss. You know what it says? All that glitters is not gold. And God knows our hearts tonight. God knows exactly where you stand with him, friend. God knows whether you're in communion with him or not. And if you are in communion with him, then you're in communion with God's people. Because he says, if you love me, then you'll do my commandments. And he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. Gethsemane. That's the first place. Then turn with me to John's Gospel. And it's not Gethsemane, friend. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And we come to verse number 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and he sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew tongue, Gabbatha. That's the second one. Gethsemane, now Gabbatha. See, the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. He was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane and up into Caiaphas' palace. And friend, we went there, and who will ever forget the time we had in Caiaphas' palace? But it was different than Jesus had. After they interrogated him, Annas the high priest, he asked the Lord Jesus questions about his doctrine and about his disciples. It wasn't that Annas didn't know all about the doctrines of Christ. It wasn't that he didn't know about the disciples of Christ. But he wanted Jesus Christ to trick himself, or he wanted to trick the Lord Jesus Christ and use the Savior's words to accuse him. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke with great authority. And there was nothing they could take to accuse him. And so he sent him from Annas to Caiaphas, the high priest. And there the Lord Jesus Christ was found guilty of blasphemy, claiming to be God. Judas, or Caiaphas, put the Lord Jesus Christ under oath. He says, "I adjure thee." He put him under oath, asking, was he the Son of God? And Jesus Christ acknowledged he was. And they put the charge of blasphemy against the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they put the Savior down into the pit because it was in the night time. And he couldn't be sentenced to death in the night time. They had to wait the Sanhedrin in the morning. and they put Christ into the pit. And we'll never forget that time that we had in the pit. And then they brought him out of the pit, friend, and they took him to Pilate. They wanted Pilate to rubber stamp their charge of blasphemy. But Pilate wasn't having it. You see, their blasphemy was a blasphemy, claiming that he was the Son of God. But Pilate wouldn't take that charge. And so they trumped up another charge against the Savior. If you look there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, in the verse number 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king." The Lord Jesus Christ never did that, friend. That's not true. Remember what Jesus said? "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God." And yet, they said, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar." It was a lie. The charge of the priest, it was untrue. But then there's the choice of the people. Because Pilate wasn't satisfied. Pilate wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to be released. And so the mob was asked the question, "Whom will ye that I release unto you?" And the people made their choice. They said, "Give us Barabbas." And Pilate sat down on a piece of stone called the pavement. What was it, friend? It was the chair of the Roman governor, which he sat down on when he was passing sentence upon a prisoner. That was Gabbatha. And Pilate tried. But friend, the tragedy was this. Pilate knew that Christ was innocent. Yet he delivered Christ to be crucified. "What shall I do then with Jesus?" His wife warned him, said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." And Pilate went out to the crowd and said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" But he shamefully yielded the Savior. And after he scourged him, the Bible says, he delivered him to be crucified. Gethsemane, Gabbatha. But here's the last one. Go to Luke's Gospel 23 again. And when you go to that passage of God's Word, it says in verse number 33, "And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." The place called Calvary. What was the name for Calvary, friend? Golgotha. Golgotha. Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha. When I look at the record of Luke's Gospel very quickly, friend, I see three crosses on that hill. There was the cross of rejection. That was the thief who rejected Christ. He railed upon the Son of God. He would not surrender to the claims of Jesus Christ. He was dying in his sin. I remember some years ago, the time was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Gordon Brown. And I was talking to him one day in the House of Commons, and he said to me, he says, "You know, Reverend McRae, my father's a preacher. And my father was a Church of Scotland minister. And he wrote a little book of sermons." Just a little book of sermons. He said, "I must give you a copy of it." And one day I was going through the Commons and he called me to his side and he said, "William, I promised you my father's book, sermons, and I've got it at home. A little inscription from the Prime Minister at that time. And one of the sermons that his father preached was the three crosses. There was the cross of rejection. There was the cross of reception. There was the cross of redemption. You see, the cross of rejection was the sinner or the thief that died in his sin. The cross of reception was indeed that thief that cried on the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, remember me." And the cross of redemption, he was the one who died for our sins, who paid that price to deal with our guilt and our penalty and the very power of sin itself. There are three crosses on that hill. And then Luke's record gives us three cries. You'll find the first cry is, "Father, forgive them." The second cry on the cross of Calvary that is recorded in Luke chapter 23 is, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." It's not a word of prayer. That was the first one, "Father, forgive him." It was a word of promise. "Today thou shalt be with me." And then the last cry that's recorded in Luke's gospel, it's a word of pardon, a parting. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Three crosses, three cries. But as I finish, it brings before us three courses. When we think of Calvary, friend, and we think of the cross work of Christ, remember, we can refuse to trust him. That's one course. "We will not have this man to rule over us." That was their cry. "I will not have him. I do not want him." And the answer to trusting Christ and receiving Christ is this: "No, I will not." And that's still happening in meetings like this. When men and women are hearing of the cross work of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for sinners, that Christ is willing to save, that Christ is able to save, that Christ calls men and women to be saved, and yet they go out and they say, "I will not have him. No, I will not have him in my life." Friends, you can refuse. You can refuse to trust Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said some of the saddest words. He says, "Ye will not come to me that you might have life." You'll not come. We stood on the Mount of Olives, and we looked as the Savior did so many years ago, friend. And he looked down the Kidron Valley, and there he knew there was a garden at the bottom of it. And he knew outside the city walls, as he looked across, there was a place of the skull, Golgotha. He knew over there was Gabbatha, the place of the pavement, where he would be sent to be crucified. And he stood in that city, or in that hillside of Mount of Olives, and down the cheeks of Christ there were scorching tears, and he wept. How oft would I? But you would not. Friend, there are three choices. You can refuse them. And then the second choice is this: you can ignore him. The Bible tells us about a man, Gallio. The Word of God records this: Gallio cared for none of those things. Now, it's the same as the first one in reality. You can just ignore them altogether. And there are those who come to gospel meetings, friend, and they refuse the Lord Jesus Christ. But the vast majority of people, they will not come to the house of God because they just ignore him. They just ignore him as if he never came, as if he never died, as if he never left the glories of heaven, as if he never went to the cross of Calvary. They just ignore him as if he never existed. The sad reality in Ulster today, the vast majority of people, and across this United Kingdom, the vast majority of people have never gone through a church door. Because they don't care about them. They have no thought of them. He's not at all in their lives, and he's not at all in their mind. It's not that they refuse him. Openly refuse him. They just ignore him. They just ignore him. And friend, you can do that. And there are people who are doing that tonight. And they're ignoring the blessed Son of God. And they're closing their minds and they're closing their hearts and they're steeling their hearts against the Lord. And they said, listen, as far as he is concerned, there's no place for Christ in my mind or my thoughts or my heart. And just push him to the side. Three choices. Refuse him. Ignore him. Or receive him. And the Word of God says, as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The lessons we learned from Gethsemane. The lessons we learned from Gabbatha. The lessons we learned from Golgotha. There were the crosses. There were the cries. There were the courses. And one thief on that cross repented of his sin and got saved. And he's in glory tonight. And the other rejected. And he's in hell tonight. Friend, listen. If this is the last time I ever speak to you, where are you going? Whither bound? If we never meet again this side of heaven, if we never meet again this side of God's eternity, tell me, are you going to heaven? Will I meet you there? Or are you going to hell for all eternity? We have been in the land where Jesus was. And thank God I'm going to the land where Jesus is. I'm going to glory. What about you? We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright. To walk the golden streets of heaven, to bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ. You're held by many a snare. Friend, we can't leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. I don't know if those two thieves knew each other. before the cross. But friend, let me tell you this. The two thieves, there is nothing to tell me that they were brothers. There's nothing to tell me that they were in the same family, but they separated for all eternity. But it is possible for those in the same family that have lived under the same roof, that have heard the same gospel, that have felt the same tugging of the Spirit of God in their hearts, and yet one can go to heaven forever, and one can go to hell forever. From the same home, the same family, the same church. And be separated for all eternity. I beg you in God's name, learn the lesson, friend. Learn it well. Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha. Where will you be? One second after you die.